Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Power of Love Show, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to The Power of Love, sponsored by the D.D. Jackson Foundation, where we shine a light on loss and grief and how it impacts our lives. We are here to provide hope, resources, and a community so no one feels alone in their grief. I am T.J. Jackson, and with me I have both of my brothers, Taj and Terrell Jackson. Yep. How are you guys?
What's going on, T?
What's up?
How are we doing today?
Good. Doing all right.
Doing good.
Good. It was a colder day, but it seems to have warmed up pretty well. It's a good temperature here in Southern California. November 7th.
Yes.
We had a big voting election day yesterday.
You vote?
We are live on the Power of Love show, so if you're listening to us right now, thank you for joining us. Later on in the show, we will be opening up to take some questions on Twitter. And our phone line, obviously, you can call us in at 323-203-0815. If you have a question about the topic that we are talking about, you can send us a tweet at DDJ Foundation, or again, you can call us.
That's right.
Yeah. Taj?
You give the number.
Yeah.
Yeah. But to answer, if you're asking it to me, I wasn't registered. I thought I registered, but I guess I wasn't. No. So I couldn't vote, which is unfortunate and disappointing, but...
Yeah, you need to register.
Yeah, so. But yeah, I saw you guys both did.
Yes, I voted. Todd, you voted?
Yep.
I know you guys got your stickers?
Yep.
Nice.
Got my stickers.
Yeah.
Kids?
Huh?
Nobody guess so, yeah.
I got my sticker.
That was good.
I wanted my sticker.
Here's a disclaimer. We are not licensed therapists. We are just ordinary people who have experienced loss in our lives. We've been impacted by it, and we've learned from it. And we want to share our opinions and attempt to help you overcome whatever it is you're going through. Saying that, if you need professional help, we urge you to seek it and to find it. Do not rely on us.
That's right.
But yeah, I unfortunately didn't. I apologize to everyone. I know it's a shame. And I'm slowly getting a little bit more into politics. But again, like I said, part of the problem is I wouldn't even know who or what to vote for. And I mean, I could just piggyback off what you guys would do. That's an option.
Yeah.
And I feel like if it was, I know this is horrible to say because everyone could say this and there'd be no turnout, but I feel like if we lived in a more battleground, more contested area, I would have been more proactive. But I'm keeping it real. I wasn't registered. I tried to, and I wasn't registered, which is another thing I have an issue with. They make make it too hard.
Yeah,
I should be able to log into a website, give my social, give my thumbprint, something, instead of going down to a place to, first you have to pre-register, but then going somewhere, waiting in line. Not many people have that, and that's where I think a lot of people have issues.
They do that on purpose.
Yeah, and that's...
They make it difficult to vote.
Because some people can't, you know, I hope every job is forgiving and lets you go, you know, on paid absence so that you can vote, but... What about the companies that don't? What are people supposed to do who are living paycheck to paycheck and need every single dollar? So that's something that I feel the voting system should be cleaned up and fixed, and hopefully in the near future it will.
Yeah.
Guys have any things to say?
No. No, it was...
How long was your wait?
Mine was very simple.
Yeah, mine too.
How long?
We actually went to the same place.
Did you guys go together?
No. I went first.
How long was your wait?
Mine was like maybe 5-10 minutes.
Oh, that's nothing.
At the longest.
Me too?
Yeah.
Showed your ID. What's the process?
Yeah. It's actually very simple once you're in the system. You just need to get in the system.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, politics are politics. So.
I don't even know if I showed my ID. I must have.
You had to have.
Right?
You had to have. So. Yeah.
I don't know.
But anyway, yeah, I know. Shame on me. Next time I will. I voted before. I just don't have the best memory to remember. But this time I did not. I know.
That's all right.
Anyway, what's going on for the week besides the elections and all that from yesterday?
Well, did you get out the Twitter handle or the phone number?
I did. I think so. Twitter's at DDJ Foundation. Phone number to call in is 323-203-0815.
Okay, perfect. I'll start with me. Yeah. I'm it's the countdown. It's like almost 2 weeks away.
Yeah.
So we
from the due date.
From the due date. Okay. So we put in a baby seat.
Yeah, this guy's got the baby seat in the back.
Had it for about 2 days. Yeah, so that was interesting.
Good, you're prepared.
So weird.
Yeah.
Did you do it?
Me and Tiana, yeah.
Are you confident? Because you know you can go to a fire station and they'll just do it for you.
Yeah.
But you're confident.
That's what YouTube's for.
Okay.
Yeah. Very confident.
All right.
And then, yeah, now we're...
Aren't you supposed to put it in the middle seat, though?
You can.
You can.
In all there's like the shoulder.
The latch. You did the latch then.
Yeah. I don't like the middle seat. That feels like, for me, like if something happened, it would go straight through the window.
Yeah.
Something about that just doesn't.
I don't know, but you can see the child easier, I think, from the middle seat through your mirror.
Yeah.
But maybe, I don't know. You test it out. See how you like it.
It'll be in the middle seat.
I think it'll be in the middle seat too.
I strategically put it out to the left so that Tiana can see the baby by just turning her head to the left.
It'll be in the middle.
It will, because you're going to want to see your baby too. Are you excited, Taj?
Yeah, very excited. I mean, it's an exciting time. It's just preparing.
Why are you laughing, Terrell?
Because it's going to be funny.
Yeah. Why is it going to be funny?
It's just going to be funny because this whole world's going to change.
Yeah, my whole world will change.
Finally.
It's so overdue.
It's going to change. His whole vibe's going to change.
Vibe will change.
I'm actually going to be able to look at you with real respect now.
You got
to
remember...
Don't
when we had our children, Taj wasn't one to want to hold the babies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He didn't want to hold the babies. Not that he didn't like them. He just didn't, you know. So just seeing him holding a newborn is going to be fun.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't like holding other people's babies. They're too fragile. Mine won't be different. It'll be mine.
It's good for you, though, Taj. It's a very healthy part of your life that I think is going to do you really well.
It should.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what was your
Taj, when you have questions, are you going to call your older brothers or your younger brothers?
Depends on the questions. Yeah. I mean, I'm always about getting knowledge. So, yes, of course.
Diapers? Do you know how to change diapers yet?
No, but I'm sure there's YouTube videos on that too.
Taj, are you going to wait till the last minute of all this?
YouTube how to change a diaper?
Hey, let me tell you something. I had a dog that had bad bowels. So I had to change Rascal's diaper every other day.
A baby to the dog.
Literally. So I've already have prep on diapers.
You'll be just fine, Taj. I think you're going to be a really good father, man.
I plan to be.
I think you're going
to be the best.
Well, the best is already known. Terrell, what was your week like?
Can't remember much in this week, but I do know tonight I have a basketball draft for Bryce.
Is it tonight?
It's tonight. And
so did you do the tryouts?
I went to the tryouts for him. I did not want to coach. I didn't mind if I was coach or not. You know,
were they short on coaches?
They had, I think they had 16 teams, and one person in front of me wanted to coach, so it was an odd number. So she was kind of like, we'll see. And I overheard him asking if he can coach, and I was on the fence about it. So, because Bryce was on the waiting list, because he made up his mind a little bit late on it. So he was on the waiting list, which he probably would have gotten anyways.
Yeah.
But if I decided to coach, he immediately gets in the league.
Yeah.
So there's just a lot of things. And then Adrian didn't want to play. So now I didn't feel bad about coaching one team. I probably would have had to coach both.
Yeah.
So now I'm just coaching one team.
That's great.
I asked Bryce, are you sure? He wanted me to coach. I didn't ask him, actually. He asked if I would coach. And I said, are you sure? And he's like, yeah, please, please, please. So then
that
I decided
so
to
cool.
coach. And then it also helps because now instead of having, I think, 10 kids per team, they're having 8 kids. So it means more
way
playing.
Better.
Yeah. More playing time for each kid. I went to the tryout with Bryce. I don't know any of these kids, obviously, because Bryce has never really played since... I mean, he played 1 year with Didi when they were 5. So I think about you because I remember when you did the draft, you just went with, like, best available a lot. Remember Troy?
Yeah. Like, well, that was a different scenario. He was the number one pick, so
so you didn't, you know...
But I usually drew by parents.
I didn't see.
So when I see a tryout, I'm watching the kids, but I'm
too.
Watching the parents.
The interaction. As
I do not want a headache.
Yeah,
so
definitely not. So I mean, we'll see. We'll see how it goes. It'll be all right. You know, it is what it is. I'm sure
it'll be fun,
they're kids. I mean, not gonna be too bad.
I'll help out too.
I don't think any of these parents are expecting their kids to go straight to college after this. So
I think that's great, man.
Yeah, so it'll be all right.
I think it's basketball.
And the games are gonna be, I think, right down the street from Papa T's.
Yeah.
So
cool, man. It's very cool.
Good stuff.
All right. Well, for my week, I didn't do much. Joe had a parent conference. It went well. And then I have a couple more this week. What else did I do? Went to Disneyland.
I feel like something happened this weekend, no?
No, nothing happened.
Oh, I know what I did.
What?
I'm sorry, can I jump
in? Yes, you can.
ALS walk.
Oh, did yes. you?
That's what
Good
I did.
Good for you. On Sunday?
Yeah, I knew I did something. It was Sunday, yeah.
Yes, it was.
Yeah, for,
Good for you, man.
In honor of Bree's father, Troy.
Good.
And Davina as mm-hmm. well. So
that's great.
I did that.
Where was that?
That was actually, it was near the Coliseum.
Okay.
In that area. So.
Okay.
Yeah, it was good cause.
Well, yeah. So my week was, Sorry. It's okay. No, that's important. My week was pretty normal, pretty relaxed. And that's it. I don't have much else to report, but I think we should go straight into it. We have, this is the third part of
part
the
three.
Tri-series. Is that correctly said, Taj? Tri-series? Like you guys trilogy? Don't read. Of the trilogy. I'll take trilogy.
I was going to say trilogy.
Trilogy sounds like a movie, though.
It is.
But still, we'll call or this both. A trilogy.
It doesn't have to be a movie, does it?
No. I think...
Part of
three. You just associate
Taj, will you do yourself... make yourself somewhat valuable?
I wasn't the research person,
look up
but I will be.
The actual definition of trilogy.
Yeah, yes. Trilogy Thank can... You. Well, because...
I think it may be story
Spectrasonics.
Based,
I remember trilogy is the base, and that was the third release from okay. Omnisphere.
Well, we're going to see if it means third or if it means like the third of a story. So that's what we're going to find out. But anyway, on to more important things. 27 ways to work through the grieving process. In the last two shows, we tackled the first 18, and now we are on the third, the tertiary. Am I saying that right?
A group of or series of three
related things.
Okay, so...
Yes, that's right.
I don't know if this is the... But you're cutting a number into three. I don't know if that would make it a trilogy. But anyway. All right, 27 ways to work through the grieving process. Let's go through them real quick. The first 18. Can we do that?
Sure.
All right, number one, attend a dinner party put on by the dinner party.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, set aside about 15 minutes each day to be by yourself in a quiet place to give yourself space to grieve. Number three, write letters to your loved one. Number four, binge watch a lot of TV. Number five, commemorate milestones with their favorite food. Six, find a local death cafe to talk about death and grieving with others who have experienced loss. Seven, look through old pictures, emails, letters, and anything else you shared. Eight, tell a lot of jokes, shocking ones. Nine, seek out a therapist you trust. 10, write out all of your emotions on paper. 11, find a hobby that fills you with happiness. 12, wear their clothing or jewelry. 13, talk to them, even if it's one-sided. Mm-hmm. 14, honor them through poetry. 15, don't judge yourself for grieving. 16, take care of others as a way of taking care of yourself. 17, try switching to a new kind of diet. And yep. 18, accept the way you feel, no matter how you feel.
There's a lot of good ones in there.
A lot of good ones. What is one that stands out to you, Terrell, before we get going for the last one?
There's a lot of good ones in there, but writing, the jewelry, wearing jewelry. Yeah. I mean, all of them, I could relate to all of them, and I think they're very helpful. I have some friends, people, loved ones that are going through loss right now, so... I have actually shared this with them, but it's spot on. You know, these are all tools. You know, some of them will resonate with you more than others. Some may not even resonate with you, but the idea is they're just tools. They're just ways to help you get through loss.
Yeah. Which is
important. But a lot of these bring back memories for me, but they're good memories. And I see a reason why they all help. I could see how they can all help.
Taj.
Yeah, I feel that, as Terrell said, they're tools, and you kind of have to find your right tool,
because
mm-hmm. it will resonate. You know, as I said last week, I watched a lot of TV. That's what helped me out. So that might not be what other people do. So.
Yeah. And, I mean, they're all great, but one that I think people can do more of that I think would help is writing letters. I think if you write a letter to your loved one, or have a conversation, even like I said, even if it's one-sided, is a healthy practice. There's nothing like losing a loved one, and the pain never truly completely goes away. You just learn how to deal with it, and these tools are ways to help you deal with it and to help you, you know, continue on the right path of living a fruitful and impactful life. So that's why I'm so happy we're doing these three segments of this show, because it's very important that everyone understands the variety of tools that are available.
Mm-hmm.
So with that said, let's go straight into number 19.
Yep. 19.
Number 19 is write stories infused with details about your loved one. Writing stories helped me go through some of my hardest times. Whenever I was feeling particularly distressed, I would write up little stories and insert tidbits of things I love doing with the person I miss. I used this over a very hard breakup, the loss of my beloved dog, after I got scammed by my ex-employee and ended up losing everything, and after losing my grandpa.
Jeez.
Grandma, I'm sorry. That's from Jane Hazer. It's interesting. So I wonder, is this fictitious stories, true stories? What do you think, Todd?
I think it's fictitious, but adding some element of truth in it, kind of in a way. So mm-hmm. it's kind of like maybe protecting the name, but at the same time, it's with real life experience.
Yeah, just revisiting that person and what would they do, and having a character kind of embody who they were.
I'm taking it differently.
How are you taking it?
I'm thinking they're writing something about their lost person, the mm-hmm. lost loved one. And I think they're recalling a situation and writing about it in detail. So it's not just going to, let's say, Disneyland, for instance, but a special moment about that trip in Disneyland. So it really makes you recall the moment and relive that whole memory.
Mm. Either way, I think it's a great... it's a great skill. It's a great practice. Anything, again, this is the theme. Anything that puts you allows you to connect with that person, however it is positive, is helpful.
And getting your emotions out.
Yeah, I think that's one of the most important things. So, because I think when you deal with a loss, people think, oh, they don't want to talk about it. But in reality, I feel like the more you remember the person, or the more you talk about what they were like or whatever, it really does help, because then you have memories, and those memories are what kind of get you through hard times.
Definitely. Okay, so number 20, let's keep it going. Take comfort in mourning with others. This is a quote. My tribe has a tradition of cutting our hair after losing someone close, as well as a year of mourning. No social events or religious services. And I feel like the process of it really helps. It gives you time to grieve, and then it's behind you. That's the end of quote. That's a very interesting take.
Hmm.
I personally like the tribe cutting the hair.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's really cool, because I think it's communal. You feel part of a group, and I think whenever you're part of a group during difficult times, it's always healthy,
yeah.
Like we always talk about. The part I don't know is forcing a year of straight up mourning, of no social events, no religious services, and then the discarding of the grieving as if it gives you time to grieve and then it's behind you.
Yeah,
I'm not sure I agree with that. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to rear its head again at some point. It could be in 10, 15, 20 years.
Yeah, if you're not ready, you're not ready.
And if you're not ready, you're not ready. You can't say, I'm done with it, and it's been a year from this date, and I won't grieve anymore. That's not really how it works, at least for me and everyone else I know.
People, yeah.
But maybe it works for some. But that one's interesting. I do agree with the trait of take comfort in mourning with others. I think that's very important, but I'm not so sure completely about the quote.
So this is a perfect example of using what you can from the suggestion,
mm-hmm.
not going by it with 100%, but mm-hmm. you take what you want from the number 20.
Absolutely. Number 21. I love this one. Take a hike.
Mm-hmm.
Literally go and hike. And what I love about hiking is that you're climbing.
Mm-hmm.
It's you're connected with nature.
Like that.
And you're, it's quiet. So it allows you to think and to see. And number four, Mm-hmm. Allows you to see things from a different perspective.
Okay.
And number five.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is me. This is my creative
mind. Yeah, I was going
to
say, you're just
like a...
You can feel somewhat connected to a spirit, maybe? From a high up space?
Yeah, but that's close to nature.
Nature's different.
Cherry picking.
No, because if I see a butterfly or a squirrel or grass or plant, that's not necessarily going to connect me. It just kind of simplifies life.
It depends on who it is. I see. I mean, there's...
Have you ever been hiking?
No.
Yeah, I...
What, seventh grade,
why
eighth grade?
Why do you say it with disgust like that?
Why I say it in seventh grade? Nah.
No, why did you say it? No.
Oh.
Like, with disgust.
I know the answer. No.
There's no interest?
I didn't have to think about it. No interest right now. You know.
Although we did go hiking a long time ago with Louie. Remember those days?
That was like seventh, eighth grade.
That qualifies, doesn't it?
Yeah.
The Easter stuff.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah, that qualifies. Was seventh, eighth grade.
That's considered hiking. We
That's
went
like
on
20
a big,
years ago.
Climbed a mountain.
Yeah, so I loved that back then.
So here's a quote from Taking a Hike, the passage. It's, quote, after my grandfather, with whom I was incredibly close, after he died, I went on my first hike. Every day I see a bird or flower or sunset, something that reminds me of him. And I know he has directed that beauty my way to give me some comfort when dealing with the oft overwhelming pain of loss. Mm. So... I just think nature and the simplicity of it can, and not
takes
just
you back to the basics.
Takes you back to the basics, but it also kind of, and I don't necessarily think it's just with loss of people. I think any hardship, any tough times, nature is a great place to go. Whether it's the ocean, whether it's hiking, I just think it kind of, in some way, it keeps your perspective of the big picture. Does that make sense? Of that you're just a small thing in this plan. And I also think it, vice versa, it can re-inspire you, not vice versa, but in additionally, it can re-inspire you to do great things in, like, you know, nature. That's why I think a lot of writers go out to nature, you know, places where it's very natural, because it's inspirational. So I think that can also help you rebound, in those two ways.
Mm-hmm.
So
okay.
I love Take a Hike. I think that's a great one.
We have a Twitter.
Yes.
A couple Twitter questions. But Alicia wants to know, she said, maybe the communal grieving is just the start. And after, you can grieve on your own any way you want. She said, just the thought.
Yeah.
So.
No, I love that. I think that's spot on. I think it's important to have that community, that group, the you know, that connection. And then you deal with it on your own. However, oftentimes when people lose a spouse or a significant other, they feel that love from a group. And then when time passes, they move on to their regular life. Meanwhile, since it's a more significant loss for yourself, you kind of feel isolated and alone. So
abandoned in a way.
So it's very important to kind of figure out a way to still feel connected in that group. And maybe that's what mourning with the group was all about. Take comfort in mourning, because she did say, or I think it was she, or he, whoever it was, felt that by doing it with the tribe, you're cutting your hair, so you're in that process longer. And also, no social events or no religious events. So when, you know, Christmas or some Easter comes up, you know that there's other people who are in that same boat of not participating in those things. So again, even though you may not see them that day, you feel connected to more people because they're sharing in your experience.
Yeah.
So maybe that's where it's coming from. And thank you for that tweet.
Yes.
I wasn't thinking you, Tosh.
I know you weren't.
Okay. Just
trust me. Trust me. I didn't take it that way at all.
Okay. Was there another one?
Yes. Marlene. She says, my grandma has a third reoccurrence of her breast cancer, and she doesn't want to heal herself. She's tired. It's difficult to respect her decision, but I can't be selfish trying to convince her.
That's powerful.
Yeah. Mm. So it's like,
that's a tough one.
That's a very, and I'm so sorry, Marlene, because that's a difficult position to be in, because it's, you're trying to respect someone's decision, but at the same time, you don't want them to Ooh, give up.
That's a tough one.
Yeah.
I think you just have to keep inspiring and keep pushing for to help. But when that answer is no, and as long as it's, I mean, what do you guys think? It depends.
I've never been in that situation.
A few weeks back.
Because at the same time, you can also make the argument if someone's going through something significant, their judgment may be off of it.
Yeah.
You know, and I think if there's young loved ones or dependents around, you have to keep pushing to improve the situation for their needs. But if what would you say if everyone's grown and you know there's no dependence, you kind of have to respect.
Well, it depends. If they're tired, that's different than if they're in pain to me. Like if they're tired, I would try and inspire them and try and, you know, there's that hope that, you know, we can. But if they're in pain, then that's different. Then I know that they're suffering.
Yeah.
And that's, I don't know the scenario, but that would be my judgment call
And another thing, I think you have to balance your relationship with that person and your knowledge of that person. I don't know anything about the grandmother, right? Or is it mother or
grandma? Grandma.
I don't know anything about grandma, but you obviously do. Is it a person that is usually very optimistic? Is it a person that is usually pessimistic?
Yeah.
Is it a person that usually...
That, yeah.
So that all plays into it, because if they're an optimistic person who is now taking this road, maybe it you got to respect it.
Yeah.
So, all right, we have a phone call, so let's take the phone call. Who do we have on the line with us on The Power of Love?
Hi, this is Ebony from Texas. How are you guys?
Good, hey, Ebony. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine.
Good. What you got?
Yeah, I've been listening for the past couple of weeks, and there are plenty of ways where I grieve. I mean, I look at old pictures. I have some of my dad's old softball T-shirts and everything. But one of the things that really stuck out to me was writing, creating.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
With them in mind, in their memory. It's interesting you say that, because I actually requested to write a poem to put in the program. Mm.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted, is it okay if I share it with you guys?
Yeah, please. Please.
We'd okay, love to. I'm a little nervous and I hope I don't.
Yeah, you're okay. You're okay.
Right.
So just to recap, this is a poem that you wrote that was intended to go for the passing of
from my father.
Okay.
Yeah, I wrote it for myself as well as my younger brother.
Okay.
Okay.
So, all right. Since we were born, you were always there, raising us with love, kindness, and care. At times, you were strict, but also fair. Because of you, we're quite a good pair. Throughout our lives, you taught us well. You picked us up when we fell. When we made mistakes, you'd always tell. Watching us grow made your heart swell. You supported us in everything we've done. You cheered us on, whether we lost or won. You participated with us, making it more fun, showing how proud you were of your daughter and son. When you left, it was our darkest day. We cried in shock, anger, and dismay. There was so much that we wanted to say, but we knew there was just no other way. Realizing that you're gone, it hurts us so bad. Now you're with God, and it makes us feel glad. Here's to the greatest man we ever had. We say thank you for being our dad.
Wow.
That's very great.
That's amazing.
Very powerful.
Ebony, that's great. Mm. That, first of all, that's...
Thank you.
In so many ways, it's excellent. From the writing to the creativity to the connection, and it's just beautiful. Beautiful. Thank you for sharing that, Ebony. I can I ask you, when did you write that?
I actually wrote that a couple of days after he passed, and we were basically playing and making the arrangements. And I really thought I wasn't really going to be able to finish it, because it was still fresh to me. But I was able to finish it, and you know.
Did it help?
I got a pretty good,
It help? It helped, right?
When did you finish it?
It helped.
A couple of days after your father passed.
It was a couple of days after your father passed that you finished it?
Actually, yes, it was.
Okay.
And when you read it back, like you just did now, what does it make? Does it make you feel any way? Does it just...
Well, it makes me just think back on all the all the good times we've had with them. Mm-hmm. Thinking back on all the memories.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Ebony, thank you again for sharing it. Todd, did you have any questions?
No, I just, you know, she said the word memories, and I think that's kind of what it really is about, is keeping those memories alive, whether it's reading something back and then kind of just remembering the person.
Like we've been saying, we think the poetry is a great way. And what I like about it, I've never done this, really. I haven't. But what I like about it, I can assume, and Ebony, you correct me if I'm wrong, when you hit a certain couple of lines or words or phrases, it takes you back to actual memories with your father or of your father's or pictures.
It really does.
And that is so powerful. That connecting is incredibly powerful and healthy. So hats off to you, and thank you so much for sharing that with us. It was great for our listeners.
You're welcome.
So thank you.
You're welcome.
Anything else you have for us, Ebony?
Well, it's just another thing that I was looking through old pictures and basically talking to our family members about all the times, especially when my brother and I were both athletes.
Mm-hmm.
And just thinking back, and that really helped me with creating this poem. So,
well, great job, and you know, we're sending you all the love. We know what it is like to lose a parent and how it never truly feels the same. But, you know, just know that you have a lot of support. And again, thank you for sharing the wonderful poem.
And thank you guys for talking about this for like the last 3 weeks. Yes. Really appreciate it.
Awesome. All right, Thanks, Ebony. Have a great rest of your week.
You too. Love you guys.
Love you too. Bye-bye. We have amazing listeners.
Yeah. Yes, we do.
There's nothing else to say about
that.
That was great. Just a wonderful poem. Well written. That was what impressed me. Very well written, clean, simple. And like I said, I feel it really helps her tie specific memories of her father. You know, and it's great for connection and for healing. All right. Continuing on the list, number 22. You have the list up, Terrell?
Maybe.
Okay. I'll read that one way. Okay.
That's honor them by living life the way they would want. Honor them by living life the way they would have wanted you to live.
Yes. Which is something I think we all try to do, right, Taj?
Yeah.
Why do you have that face?
Because I agree, and I know what you're going with this one. I think I know where you're going with this one.
You probably do.
But go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I'm lost because I feel like...
Because didn't we talk about this a couple weeks back?
Yeah, but this should be way up higher.
Because you can't...
It's not an order of importance.
Yeah, but the 22.
No.
Remember the attention span of people.
I think when people are dealing with loss, their attention span's a lot stronger.
That's true. That's true.
So I'm going to give my take on this one.
Yes.
Because I agree with this one, but I also...
What's your concern with
it? Okay, so yes, you should live the way... they would have wanted you to live. But it depends.
Okay.
Because, I think we opened this up, Taj. I don't know if you were here on this conversation, TJ. But sometimes people live a life because they feel that's what other people would want them to do.
Uh-huh.
For instance, let's say mom wanted me to be a doctor. But mm-hmm. that's not really what I want to be is a doctor. I want to be...
Mm-hmm.
a basketball player or whatever.
Okay.
I shouldn't pursue being a doctor. I shouldn't have that. You know, I should follow my dream. Now, if you're speaking about how she would want me to live as far as like, you know,
characteristics and qualities.
Yes. Or being happy.
Be happiness, you know. I forget the caller we had. I think we had a caller where they were always doing things and making choices and decisions based on what their parents wanted them to do.
And therefore they didn't feel
they sacrificed what was in their heart.
Okay.
So that's, but if you're talking about, you know,
I think that's a very,
being, you know, and I'm going to use my cousin Prince.
Yeah.
I love how he's helping, you know, mm-hmm. And obviously that's something that was taught to him by his father.
Mm-hmm.
Those type of things. Yes, I agree. He gives back. He's very high into helping others, children, and making a difference. Those things I love about him, you know?
And again, we're going to get a little bit more private, but staying on Prince, his riding the bikes. I don't think Uncle Michael would.
No, not at all.
But
among other things, you know, but
I appreciate Prince living his life.
Yes.
Because when it comes down to it, he's got to be happy.
But then here's the other thing. It's like Uncle Michael would want him to be happy.
100%.
So him being happy, whatever that takes, it's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's my thing on that.
Toria, she said, hey, Toria. Number 22, she said, honor them by living life the way that they would have wanted
that's
to
hard
live.
To read, yeah. Isn't it, Taj?
No, well, I once I started, I was like, why did I say that? She said, that's exactly what you did after your mom passing mm-hmm. with 3T, right?
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much it is, yes.
And no, I agree. I think I think in Toria's situation, I think in the way it is actually listed is if in our situation we were 3T prior to mom's passing. And then when mom passed, a lot of people lose that gumbo to keep it going or to finish it off, that drive. And they kind of, you know, they lose that inspiration to do something. And I think that's what we decided as a group is to finish and continue on as 3T. Mm-hmm. With that said, I can bring up a point, but I'm not going to do this on the radio for both of you fools. Sorry, I got real. What is I going to say?
Is it going to be school?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. See, I know mom would have wanted you both to have finished school.
And I will. That's one of my high priorities.
All right. All right. And you?
I'll finish. Well, what type of, it's education school.
Can I say really
I defense, learn every day.
Yes, I do want to finish at LMU. That's been.
You're the closest.
I am very close. I'm about a year away. So I do want to finish LMU. That's been my priority. I don't want to do it somewhere else. So
yeah, which is understandable.
Yeah,
you should have done it this year so you could have graduated.
I was planning on that, but then
other
things.
I'm waiting.
Went on tour and stuff.
Bryce,
are you waiting? All right, number 23.
Wait, before we go on to the next one, I think you should read the quote.
Okay, why don't you read it? You want me to read it?
Yeah.
Okay, the quote from number 22. Which I'm going to read it this time. Honor them by living life the way they would have wanted you to live. Here's the quote. I remember how she would want me to react to her death. She wouldn't want me to be sad or to spend a single moment missing her. She would want me to live my life to its absolute fullest, to have every experience that I can, because that's the way she lived her life. Enjoyed every minute, right up to her very last. She would want me to do the same. So when I find myself missing her, I do something fun or I find something to laugh about because that's what she would do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So in that case, yes.
Okay.
I agree 100% with that.
Number 23, remember to take things one day at a time. This is so important. You know, I think a lot of times we think, you know, since today was easier, tomorrow's going to be even easier than today. Not the case. You're going to have good days. You're going to have bad days. You're going to have excellent days, you're going to have horrendous days, you're going to have sad days, you're going to be happy days, and even dividing it even to, you're going to have moments.
Mm-hmm.
It could be a great morning that turns into a crappy afternoon, which turns into an amazing night. So you have to respect where you're at, and you have to respect that it's a continuously moving thing. Please understand this, because I think we live in a world where we try to simplify things and kind of jump to certain conclusions on where we're supposed to be.
Yeah.
We're not supposed to be anywhere. Everyone's road is different and everyone's path is different. So remember to take things one day at a time. The quote, I lost my brother to cancer a little over a month ago. I have no idea how to deal with it. I find it easier to not think about it in such a negative way. When I think about him, I try to think about happy times we had together or funny stories. That's what gets me through the day. Some days I go through without feeling sad at all. Other days it hits me like a brick, and all I can do is cry. But it's a day-by-day process. There's no other way that I can do it.
Mm-hmm.
Incredibly important, everyone. So if you're dealing with a loss, understand, take it day by day. You're going to have a great day followed by a horrible day followed by a great day, and you're not going to be able to articulate or pinpoint why it is. Just understand it, connect to yourself, connect with others, and be real.
And allow yourself to feel that way.
Number 24, make a playlist of the songs that remind you of them. Why do I feel like we said this?
Probably because I mentioned it somewhere. No, I'm just kidding.
I thought we did this.
No, we did
something.
Here. Yeah, I think it was something similar.
Okay.
With the lyrics, yeah. And I mentioned I mentioned the article.
Oh, maybe.
There's another article where you can make a playlist. And I said it would probably be on the list, and so it is.
I think this is a great, easy one for today's time. You make a playlist of the songs that remind you of them. Again, it's something I've never done, but I think if Mom passed
Rick asked
now, Astley. I'd have a playlist of Mom's songs, and it would help me put me into moments when I feel like it's time to connect to her or to remember her. So this is one I would definitely support. Number 25, know that grieving comes in waves and has its own schedule. Mm-hmm. Not sure how this differs from 23 too much, but I guess I'll read a bit of the quote. I've lost several people in my life. The most impactful death was the loss of my boyfriend in a car accident. His death was the biggest learning experience for me. The key I figured out to help me is that I have to let it be. By this, I mean time changes. Emotions are like waves. They will come and go. What you are experiencing in the moment will not be what you are feeling the next day, week, or month. Time will heal, but time works on its own schedule, not yours.
Yeah, I get that.
That's great.
I get it, and I agree with it, but how does it differ from the one?
Because I think the first one, the previous one, was it 23?
Yeah.
Take each day.
Remember to take things one day at a time.
One day at a time. I think that's when you're going through it, when you're actually feeling it. Because there are certain times and there are certain days when you don't have anything. You're fine. And you're doing well. And then all of a sudden it hits you. You know, a song can come on the radio or, a scent or any type of memory can trigger something. And it can hit you and it can hit you hard.
Yeah.
You know, so I think that's kind of what it's saying here. That it does its own thing. And you'll go up and down and you'll go through it. And just, and then... Once you're there, that's where I think 23 take each day at a time.
I think also it's not a one size fits all thing in terms of don't compare yourself to other people and how they grieve, because everyone grieves different. So if you see yourself and you're not crying as much as someone else is crying, or if you are crying more than someone else is crying, that's fine, because everyone grieves differently.
Yeah.
I think, because... when you're going through loss, you can almost expect, maybe you think that you should feel one way or you should be doing this or you should feel that way. And it may not be right for you right there.
Yeah.
You know, and you can't compare yourself to other people in other situations, because everybody's situation's different.
Yep. And moving on to a different tactic for grieving, for dealing with grieving, we're number 26 of 27 things that can really help you while you are grieving. 26, celebrate life when you feel like celebrating. Celebrating, I understand, it's often the last thing anyone wants to do when all you want to do is cry or curl up in a ball forever. However, I found that after the initial grief, it's helped me to do birthdays with a few cupcakes or make a keepsake box and add small items for the holidays. I miscarried, and every year I place a candle inside her memory box. Every birthday we spend it at a comedy club. Every holiday we add a small piece of cloth from a stocking that has her name on it. We just celebrate as much as we can. If I feel sad, I light a special candle I decorated just for her, or I can make a cake in honor of her and donate it. Just giving, it helps so much. Any thoughts?
No, that's nice.
It's very nice. That's from Kelly M147. Not sure what social media that is. I think Instagram. It's Instagram. Mm-hmm. But I like that, Kelly.
Yeah. Nicole on Twitter says that I do a parchment craft, and my mom was always giving me her opinion about my creations. I miss that a lot, but I'm still asking her advice in my mind.
Mm.
She is always near me.
Yeah. So that's really cool.
Yeah.
Thanks for that, Taj.
Of course.
Okay, we're going to take one more phone call. Who do we have on the line with us on the Power of Love?
Hi, this is Alicia. How are you?
Good, Alicia. Hey, how are you doing?
Alicia.
I'm good. I'm calling in reference to what you guys were talking about earlier as far as grieving differently from other people. Mm. My cousin and I were talking on Facebook a couple of weeks ago about our grandmother, because she... passed away, and my cousin couldn't make it to the to the funeral, but pretty much everybody else was there, and she felt guilty about that. But we found like a Christmas letter or card that she had called, that she had sent to my grandmother, and we had screenshot it and sent it to her. And I felt guilty because I hadn't cried and still really haven't. But we were both saying that, you know, we didn't think that our grandmother would want us to feel bad about, you know, why she couldn't make it, why I hadn't cried. So it definitely goes with, you know, the different ways that you grieve and accepting that.
Alicia, first of all, thank you for calling and thanks for sharing your story. I advise you to find a way to cry, to get it out, to find yourself in a your own little, I don't know, in a blanket.
If you feel you need to.
But,
yeah, I don't know if I've really cried yet.
I don't know.
I think it's important.
But see, I don't know. But I don't, sometimes I feel like she could be thinking, I'm supposed to be crying. Why am I not crying? If there's pain and if she feels like she needs to cry, there's nothing wrong with crying.
Right.
But if there's...
I mean, I'm not really sure because I kind of felt like, you know, she wouldn't want me to cry because we were so close that she, you know, felt like I didn't really need to. But at the same time, for me, I kind of felt guilty because when my other grandma passed away, I did.
Yeah.
So I'm not, you know, it's
A couple of things.
It's hard.
For Melissa, first of all, for me, you can't compare. You are different at a different perspective in life. You're at a different point in life. So don't ever fall into the trap of, well, I did it for this one. Why am I not doing it for this one? Is something wrong with me? Don't fall for that. There's nothing wrong with you. In my opinion, I don't know your story well enough, but I feel like you can cry. I just feel like you're trying to be tough because you feel that your mom wouldn't want you to cry. Mom or grandma? I'm sorry.
Grandma.
I'm sorry. Yeah. Your grandmother wouldn't want you to cry. But, I mean, it comes down to this. I think any of my kids or any of my future grandkids will say, you know, think that I want them to be happy, which I obviously do. Mm-hmm. But there's many roads to that. And crying is one of them. And we as a society pinpoint crying as something negative, something weak. And in reality, I see it the opposite. I see it as something strong and something that's, that will connect you and make you a more fuller person.
If it's necessary for your healing, by all means, you should do it. And there's nothing wrong with it because in the end, and I don't know your grandmother, I don't know you, but I know there's love and I know she wants you to be happy. So that's the most important thing. And however you need to get to that happy place, that you need to do whatever you need to do to get there.
Yeah,
that's my take.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but Alicia, thank you so much for the call. We only have a couple minutes, and we have to still get through one more point. But again, thank you for sharing your story
because it's never easy to share.
It's never easy to share, and we respect that and appreciate that. And like I said, I think you should try to find
take
that.
Care of yourself.
Take care of yourself, and don't judge yourself. Don't you know? I could
can't
tell
be
from
too hard on yourself
what you were saying. You're judging, and don't do that. They all want everyone you've lost wants you happy, and loves you. So you know, just the fact that you're contemplating is enough respect, in my opinion. Now it's time for you to do what you feel is best for you. So, Alicia, thanks again, and have a good rest of your week.
All right, you too. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Right.
Thank you.
I love that. I mean, I know it's not easy to share your story, and you know, but that's what helps the healing. And again, thank you so much, Alicia. Okay, so 27. We are on our last one. Do we have a drum roll or something for this last one, Taj? Anything? You're just going to sit there and just...
Not in the budget. Special effects, sound effects are not in the budget right now.
Oh, Taj, what am I going to do with you? When are you going to show your worth?
Apparently next season.
Okay, number 27. Number 27 of 27 things that can really help you while you're grieving. Number 27 is... Be normal when you feel like being normal. I think this kind of piggybacks off of Alicia's. Mm-hmm. If you feel like crying, it's normal. You got to cry. You feel like laughing, it's normal. Laugh. Don't put yourself in a position where you're filtering and trying to be abnormal because it's the quote-unquote right thing to do. You got to just go with it.
Mm-hmm.
As the quote from Emma J. Ja New, too, I guess it's the Instagram, she says, "I experienced a traumatic death in my immediate family a few years ago. I found that being with my normal friends and my normal routine is what helped me grieve. Often, I didn't need a person to talk to because I had been overanalyzing the situation so much already on my own. All I needed was a little normality."
Mm-hmm. Real quick, this brings Louis.
Yeah.
When he was here, we spoke about when we lost Mom.
Yeah.
We were all playing baseball at the time, and we continued playing baseball. We were playing baseball with our closest friends, baseball friends. And I think that helped us a lot because we were surrounded by all of our friends, and we were already mid-season and we kept playing. Same thing with the album. We just kept our routine.
Yeah.
And it helped a lot.
Very good.
You know?
So anything real quick, Taj, you want to add? Or?
No. Of course. I have a Twitter thing.
Okay.
But,
let's hear it real quick.
No, Suzanne says, "Hey guys, not related to the list, but wanted to thank you. I suffered 3 losses this year, grandma, friend, and uncle. And your show has helped me understand and deal with those losses.
Oh, that's awesome.
You made me stronger. Just wanted to let you know, and I appreciate you so much."
Well, Suzanne, we appreciate you. And
yes.
Was there something you want to say, Tara?
No, just real quick. Yeah. I know we got to go. Just tell Alicia, I wanted to point out number 18. Accept the way you feel, no matter how you feel.
Yes. Yeah,
there you go.
Very good.
And thank you, Suzanne.
And thank you, Suzanne, for that. We've gotten so many great comments, tweets about the show, and it just makes us feel good. Obviously, the show's helping us too.
Yeah,
we want to make sure that's
clear.
Thanks to
the community too.
Thank you, community, for supporting each other. And we're all going to get through this, mm-hmm. and we're all going to persevere.
Yeah.
All right. So, with love, we're signing off. We'll be back next Wednesday from 1 to 2. And thank you so much, everyone, for listening to The Power of Love. Thank you for listening to The Power of Love. We are here to provide hope, resources, and a community so no one feels alone in their grief. Support for our Power of Love radio show comes from a variety of generous donors, including supporters from institutions, individuals, and corporations through the D.D. Jackson Foundation. DDJF is a nonprofit 501c3 organization.